We're going to go ahead and continue in the book of James. And I just feel at the times that I have the opportunity and my family to be able to come and be with you guys, that I'm just going to stick to this. I've just been getting so much out of this and just wanted to, you know, get excited to be able to come and share this with you guys. As far as what, I don't know if you get excited like that when you read God's word or something good happens, you just can't wait to go and share it with somebody and go tell somebody about what's going on. And it may not mean much to you, but how excited I'm going to be, or have been, when something kind of popped out of what I'm about to read to you, and what God was able to help me. And so, let me pray. God, thank you once again for just our opportunity to come together. We thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day that you've given us. And we do pray, Lord, for our friends and family and those that are not here, God, that you just protect them. But Lord, for those of us that are here, that you would open our eyes and our ears so that we could hear, Lord, what your Spirit is saying to us. God, thank you so much, so much for what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue in James chapter 1. Remember, the prior to, it was James asking if any of you lacks wisdom. And then he starts listing the first couple topics in there as far as what to ask wisdom about, or some of the issues that people normally would dive into. Last time I was with you, we talked about temptation and where temptation actually comes from. That temptation actually starts from inside us. And once it's there, that temptation of a desire within us to do something that may not be what God would have for us. And when that sin is in there, we're tempted and that sin is in there, that it would actually start growing. And we kind of refer to how the enemy has that ability to sniff out. Now, anybody watch the debate, right? There's all the scandal about Trump sniffing, you know. And so, you know, I immediately thought about that as far as how the enemy, now he may, could have been the microphone, could have been it's cold, could have been whatever. But nonetheless, when that sniff was there, obvious, it reminded me of what I was sharing with you guys, and that how when the enemy could smell, he could smell sin in the context like that, that he could see it, he smells it. Because of the storms and the winds and everything, you could smell that lake, you know, the lake effect is what we call it, right? When the lake comes in, you're like, oh, the lake. It's immediately, you smell it, your mind goes right to something. Well, the enemy has that ability to be able to smell it and knows where it's coming from and zeroes in, and then he becomes one who entices you. That's what the scripture is saying. He entices and he goes on from there. So the idea of asking for wisdom, but where he goes right after that is something that I'm just excited to be able to share with you here. Again, we were talking about, let me read the last verse 15 that we read from last time. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin within it, a full grown, gives birth to death. Let me read that again. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. But verse 16 says, but don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth, through the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruits of all he created. So we're going to stop right there, just those few verses. It may not make sense if you're reading it through, because going back to the verses before, I'm going to read verse 14. Let me read from 13 on. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived. What he's saying here, because you read that and you think automatically, because of desire that I have in my life, that it leads towards sin, which leads towards death. And he's saying here, he goes, don't be deceived in the idea that all desire is bad. He says, don't, because all good things come from God. And what he's saying is that inside of us, we have the opportunity to be able to choose what is it that we desire. We have that opportunity to choose. Is it something that's just going to gratify me, or is it something that's going to gratify God? When it gratifies God, it gratifies everyone, including me. Did you hear that? When we are just thinking desires for ourselves, we clearly could be selfish. We could be thinking of our own. And those selfish means lead us to sin. The enemy sniffs that out. He then tempts and entices even more. Sin then eventually then leads to death. But if our desire is to focus on what God has, because good things come from God, what he's saying is that there's such a good thing as a good desire. There is such thing as a good for your life. We read in Jeremiah, we've read it over and many times, Jeremiah 29:11, that God has plans for us, a hope and a future. God wants to show us things that our mind can't even comprehend. He wants to bless us in so many different ways and move in our lives. But it really reflects on our part. What is it that we're wanting? When David wrote Psalm 23, and he starts off right from the beginning, "The Lord is my shepherd." Stop. When you just start right there and just focusing right back on God, immediately he just focuses on God. Then there's that pause, and then it's, "And I shall not want." I don't really want anything now that I know that God is on my side. There's not this wanting. There's not this desire for wanting to go and do this or that. No, God, my desire, my focus is, David, what he's saying is that it is on you. So let me read 16 again. "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above." In other words, God is waiting and looking for individuals that he could give a gift to. I want to. Have you ever been in that place where you just got something, you say, "I just want to bless somebody today"? I just, maybe, I don't know, some of you have done this. I've done this a few times, and I just knew that God put it in my heart to bless somebody that needed food. Maybe there's someone downtown or someone in that sense that needed a meal. And you, God puts that in your heart to just go bless them. And you don't know exactly who they are. You don't know what's going on. But you just say, "Man, I just want to bless somebody today. I was blessed and I want to bless. I was given something and I want to now continue the flow." Knowing and understanding that the gifts of God are not meant to go to me. They're meant to go through me. So when he says here that all perfect gifts come from God, all good things come from God, as a gift, it's not meant to go to you, but to go through you. That you will continue this flow and God's blessing all the way through. Do you get blessed? Yes, you do. You get blessed so much. His grace is sufficient for you. His mercies are new every morning for you. God wants to move in your life more than ever before. But he says here, don't be deceived. Because when we're at a place where, let's say the old person in my life had nothing but evil desires. That's all that was on my mind. Prior to God coming into my life, that's all it was evil desires, evil things, selfish things, things to gratify me only. But when God came into my life and I learned of him, I learned more about him. It came to that place, and I've used this over and over again in my life as a Christian to where I was and being a new creation in him now, that the things that I really desired before, I don't desire anymore. The things I wanted before, I really don't want that anymore. The things I didn't want then is what I want now. The things I didn't even think about then, now I want those things. It's funny how that, I mean, the scriptures talk about that, how I've become this new person. And this is what James is trying to reflect and trying to help us understand. That's why he says, don't be deceived. Anytime you hear that word deceived, there's an option. When you hear the word deceived, that means there's a choice to be made. Don't be deceived. There's a right way and a wrong way. There's a way that leads unto destruction, and there's a way that leads to glory, that leads to God. So when you hear deceived, no, there's an option. And here he's saying, don't be deceived to think that just because you have evil, you have desires or you have wants or there's things in your life that are in need, that those are bad. Because he just stated what he stated. Those desires lead to death and or lead to sin, sin leads to death. So as I was reading this, this is where I got excited. Because I was thinking about it and I was chewing on it and I was just thinking about it. And I'm like, I've heard this before. You ever wonder like where the writers in the New Testament, when they're writing what they're writing, Paul, you know, wrote most of it. Where is he getting his info? Yes, the Holy Spirit inspired him to write it down. But is this new? Or are they just reflecting many times the Holy Spirit used them to reflect on the Old Testament, on what has been written already? For God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he said then is he's saying now is just maybe being paraphrased. Or their observation of what was just said. So I was looking at this and I go, man, I have heard this before. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above. I started looking at that. And so then what I like to do when it comes to a Bible study, I like to look at other versions in the scriptures. I'm read to you from the NIV version. And I'm just going to read to you from the Message. This is more of a paraphrase than an actual interpretation. But it says, verse 16, so my very dear friends, don't get thrown off course. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful in God. Nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as a crown of all his creatures. And I started looking at that word. Every desirable, beneficial gift comes out of heaven. And I'm like, I've read this before. And God showed it to me. You know, the Bible says, when you don't have the thoughts, you don't remember, that the Holy Spirit will bring back to remembrance. What does the Holy Spirit do? When you study the Word of God, just on your day-to-day, not to prepare for something, but just for you, when you prepare you for the day, and God is using you, those verses and those scriptures are stored away. Nothing gets lost. It's a seed that's planted in there and grows as you feed it and nurture it into the Word of God. And what happens is that maybe not now you need that word, but there'll be something in the future, and it could be years from now, that you'll go back and you say, Lord, help me. Put the words in my mouth. Put the thoughts in my head. And the Holy Spirit will go back into your filing system of what you've already implemented, what you put in there, and will pull out. A long time ago, in Bible college, I was doing a study in the book of Psalms. And when I said I heard this before, like I said, this may not mean anything to you guys, but man, it sure meant everything to me. When I started reading Psalms 37, and I remembered, let me read to you, studying, remember, comparing James, and I'm thought about it. Maybe James was quoting Psalms 37 when he was writing to these people. See if it sounds familiar of what we've already studied already. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. I'm going to stop right there. I don't know if you caught this or not. If you read the first verses of what we read in James, and you read word for word of what we just read in Psalms, they go perfectly right in line. And actually, when I come in, get to speak with you guys again, we'll continue on. As we read in James and we'll read on in Psalms, it's carrying the same tone. I'm just thinking, you know what? James was just quoting Psalms 37 here. He was emphasizing Psalms 37. Now, where did it get me excited? It was because of this part right here. Verse 4. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. James is just now helping explain this verse, because he said that evil desire will lead to sin, sin to death. And he goes, but don't be deceived to think that all desires are bad. No, good things come from God. There is good desires. There are good things that come in your life. But what is the, how do I separate those two? One thing. When you put God first. When you put, what does that mean? In Psalms 37:4, look at that. When you delight yourself in the Lord. That goes with other scripture that says, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. If you knock, the door will be open. If you seek, you will find. If you ask, it'll be given. There's something on our part that we have to first reflect to God. When it comes to things and desires and hopes and wishes and anything of our life that we're hoping for, we're desiring, here it says there's nothing wrong with having good, perfect desires. Well, what's a perfect desire? It's basically saying, God, what is your will? God, what is your desire? Your desire is my desire. What you want, God, is what I want. Jesus said the very same thing. Not my will, but yours be done. Understanding this, if we could take that and know, is it wrong to ask for this or to ask? No, God wants to bless us so much. He goes, how much so when your heavenly fathers will bless you when you ask of anything, that our Heavenly Father wants to bless you as well, wants to bless you with His Spirit. But yes, He says, not only is it for an eternal life, but an abundant life here on earth. Oh, Alfred, you're just preaching prosperity now. No, I'm preaching God's blessing as a loving Father. Is it wrong to ask for anything that's not only going to benefit you, but here's the key. When you give it to God and you're asking God, you know already it's going to benefit others. Because it's not meant to go to you. When you're asking of God and your desires, if you delight yourself in God, He'll give you the desire of your heart. But if your desire is to seek Him first and all of His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto us. When you seek God first and you put God first in everything, it is not wrong to ask God, is it okay? God, this is what I desire. God, this is my dream. This is my hope that I could be able to be a blessing to other people. I want to bless other people. Remember when Paul writes in Philippians and he says, if it was up to me, because of the suffering I'm going through, he goes, I'd rather go to heaven. This is chapter 2. Philippians. But because I'm still here, I'm not here for me. I'm here for you. I challenge students all the time. I ask him, who did you wake up for this morning? Because if you woke up and you realize, okay, I'm still here, you did not wake up for you. Because if it was up to you, you would rather be in heaven. Who wouldn't want to be in heaven? There's no sickness. There's no pain. There's no tear. There's no sorrow. You get to be in the presence of God, and you get to be in all the splendor and the glory that God has. My friend, for those of us that are Christians and you had a choice, I hear those stories all the time where people say they've gone to heaven and they've come back and they tell their stories and movies are now made of it, and it's really cool to experience that and see that and hear their stories. But I don't know. It's one of those things that you have to debate. If I were to die, of course my family, they love me, and friends are going to, oh God, please don't let them die. And the next thing you know, well, that happened, right? I mean, what, 8 years ago, I was on my deathbed. I think it was 40 different ministers that came to pray for me in the hospital because of a virus I caught. And I'm there, and they said, he's going to go. And everybody, but see, I don't have any reflection that I was in heaven. So when I did wake up that Saturday morning at 2 in the morning, okay, it was in obviously purpose that I was supposed to still be here. I can't say, oh, I was in heaven, and you guys pulled me back. Why'd you do that? You know, I was already there. No, when I wake up every morning, I have to ask myself, God, who am I here for today? And when I communicate with God in that manner, of course, there's the obvious, my wife, my children, okay, those that I'm responsible for. But is there someone specific today? Who did I wake up for today? Because if it was up to me, I'd rather go to heaven. If it's up to me, I'd rather be with God. And that's the focus that James is trying to emphasize. If it's up to you as a born-again, die-hard, sold-out Christian, man, if it's up to you, don't you want to be with God? But God still has a plan for you. So when you wake up in the morning, who are you waking up for? You don't know until you go on your journey of starting that day. It may be as soon as you walk out of your house. It may be when you get to work or to school. It may be when you're walking in your neighborhood at night just taking a walk. It may be at the grocery store. It may be whoever. It may be that homeless person that you bought that meal for. So is it wrong to desire things? No. When you ask of God and those desires come to you with the understanding, it's not for me directly. It's for me to be a blessing to other people. And God is going to use and bless and move and help and take care of you because you have the mindset of God to bless other people. I'm focusing on it. And now if it was just for me, in Psalms it says the flowers wither and the grass dies. In James he talked about money, it'll rust, and it will just the material things will just become dust. And they're using the same thing. If it was just me about wanting things, wanting to have this and wanting to have that, and oh, I deserve this and I need that and I want this, then he goes, those things will fade away. They're nothing. But when you put your focus on God and God looks to you and it says, wow, I've been looking for somebody like you that's willing to allow me to bless you, and you're going to go and bless everybody else. So what? Delight yourself in the Lord. When you delight yourself in Him and you just understand His heart, you really don't want to do anything but, God, what's your desire? What do you want? I know we have that in us. I can prove it right now. Okay, how about this? You're leaving church. You're getting in your car. You have money to go out to eat. And you say, where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? And you go, and has anybody, I mean, none of you guys ever done that? Okay. Okay. Think of that same discussion with God. So God looks at you as you've been able to hang out with each other. And He looks at you and He says, so what do you want? I don't know. What do you want? What do you want? I don't know. This is an older cartoon, but the Jungle Book. Remember the two buzzards that are, they're comical. Oh, the three buzzards that are there. And as they're looking, and they have that English accent and they're basically, I don't know what you want to do. What do you want to do? I don't know what you want to do. And it just goes back and forth. That was my horrible English accent, but that was, they goes back and forth. The whole cartoon, these three are continuing. What do you want? What do you want? That's what God is saying to us here. That's a little bit different from Finding Nemo and seeing those seagulls that are just continually saying, what? Mine? Hey, so you watch cartoons too. Okay, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You know, I deal a lot with youth and children, okay? So, I mean, think about that. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want? This is what God is saying. Well, so when you say, okay, God, what do you want? And God says, you know, there's a family over here that I really want to reach. And God puts that in your heart. See, those things don't just come to you. When you woke up that morning for that family that you haven't even met yet, you woke up that morning for that boss, that teacher, that friend. I loved it that your daughter asked for a prayer request for a friend. She woke up today to do that. It's something here powerful. This is what got me excited. I was like, man, James is just reading out of Psalms. And break it down all the way through. And they're saying the same thing. Well, yes, he's quoting Psalms. And he's quoting David. And David is basically a man after God's own heart. This is why David was just so loved. Did he mess up? Absolutely. But man, he was one that just went after God. the people that were around David, they loved him. Those men that followed him, they died for him. Why? Because he was willing to be selfless to them. He poured out to those guys. Yeah, we understand there was one soldier that he committed murder. So it was not perfect. But when you look at the grand scheme of who David was, that James would even look to and quote him and say, you know what, this is what it's all about. This is where it's at. All good and perfect desires come from God. So what is your desire? What is your dream? What is your hope? What is your wish? What is your focus? What is it that you want to do? It could be at a moment of just, you know, I just really wanted to do this or to do that. If you can implement God's desire into that and say, God, we always wanted that big house. But God, I want to now dedicate my desire to you. I want to give it to you. And if that's meant for me to have that big house, that car, this thing, this whatever, if it's meant for me to have that, God, I give it to you because, God, you're going to use then that house, which then it could become a place of a Bible study. You're going to bless us with that car so now I can bring people to church. You see how it just, when you surrender those things to God, I think I mentioned this to you before, the church that I grew up in, a little tiny church there in San Jose, California. And from 15 on that I was attending, I remember it seemed like every Sunday they were always dedicating something. There was babies that would come up, and that's an obvious, right? Dedicating, but there was keys for a car. Oh, brother, you know, we got this thing. Pastor, would you pray? Let's dedicate. And that message of dedication was just always given through our little church there. And everybody just, I want to give. I just got these new clothes. Would you just bless me? You know, I mean, anything and everything is just like, bring it to God. Bring it to the altar. Give it to the Lord. God first. Now, let's end with the following verses here, the last of the service, the scripture here. Pretty powerful. James again. So, my dear friends, don't get thrown off course. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as the crown of all his creatures. Let me end with that. He says here, out of everything that God has created, he created you to be the prize. You are the crown. You and I are the best of anything and everything we've created. Now, you might say, well, we understand that through Genesis and so on. This goes a little deeper than just talking about, oh yeah, then he created man and breathed in him. This is where we're getting to the place that we're talking about. The heart of the matter here is that God loves you so much that he is so proud of you that he is wanting to show you off. What is a crown but only to be used to show off? Why do you place a crown on someone? To show them off, to show of their accomplishment, to show of their joy, to show of their success, to show of whatever. God is saying that you and I are that crown. You only place a crown on the winner. Man, did you wake up this morning thinking at all that you would be called a winner today? Not a loser, okay? You're a winner. You're the crown of God. And God wants to bless and move in your life. Think about the royalty aspect, the king and the queen. When they sit there in their throne and royalty, just the Queen of England, do you understand that when you come to meet the queen, and you purposely have an appointment to meet with the queen, and many times it's even with that, with our president, and that concept is that you were to bring a gift. Now, it's not always mentioned. You know, they always talk about the president's library, that every one of them has a library. Well, what's in the library but all the gifts that have been given to that president? And the queen also, of all the countries, they have these museums of gifts that were given from this other king or this royalty or this noble person or this person, whatever. Do you know that when you are a person of royalty, you're going to get flooded with gifts? And God wants to be the first in line. You are the crown. You are the best. You are the top. Now, if anybody here today may felt like a little down, discouraged, I'm nothing, a little out of it, I'm hoping you walk out of here realizing that, ladies, I'm a daughter of the king. Get out of my way. Men, that you're a warrior of God. The best. The best. He's showing you off. He's letting all creation know, this is my best. And he knows, if you're going to be shown off, you're going to get a lot of gifts. In other words, you're going to get a lot of blessing. In other words, God is going to use you to bless a lot of people. God's going to move in your life. Just like the sun rays that come out of the sky, just like in Psalms, it talks about the stars, it's like there's never going to be a time that you're not going to be blessed. As the sun comes up, as the stars are there, as everything is just there continually, so will the blessings of God come in your life. And you might say, wow, Pastor Alfred, I'm dealing with some tough times right now. True. But just believe and understand that God is just waiting for you and his desire to link up. What's his desire? Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart, which are perfect, which are good, which are impacting. I hope you can take this word and just run with it. And ask yourself that question today, because it's still early enough. Who did I wake up for today? Who did I wake up for? Maybe it is just your spouse that you could just spend quality time. Maybe it is just with your children. I love what he said right here. Oh, we're going on a big vacation. Man, they deserve that. Graduating from college, that's awesome. They deserve that. To go out and be blessed. Sometimes we feel like, oh, God, you're blessing everybody else but me. Remember the scripture? We just read that. Don't worry about all of them. You focus on you. But why are they? Don't get your eyes off of them. Put them on God. And God will bless you over and over and over. One day you'll have to have your own library. And you can show all the blessings and the beauty of what God has given you. Amen. Let's stand and invite our worship team. In a few weeks, I'll have a chance to continue on. I always believe that when we go into the Word of God, that there's someone that this message was for. Obviously, for me, it was something I needed. But because I'm sharing the Word, I just have to believe that someone needed to hear this today. That you're loved, and that He cares about you, and that He wants you to be the overcomer that you are. God's a good God. He loves you guys. He's not forgotten who you are. Matter of fact, He's bragging about you right now. That's a beautiful thing. Amen. Let's worship and